Last week, near the end of her Palm Sunday sermon, Pastor Sherlyn stopped short and said, "I'm getting ahead of myself here because it's starting to sound like an Easter sermon, and that's Pastor Ruth's job." And now, here I am with the joy of preaching on this Easter Sunday, and I have to say that I find myself wanting to jump ahead into the stories that follow this one in the Gospel of Luke. I wanted to get ahead of myself and tell about the encounters that these people had with the risen Christ and how that did in fact draw them out of confusion and fear and doubt into the new life that they had in Christ. But that isn't the story that we have before us this morning as Luke tells it. You may have noticed that as you've heard it read, that up until now, Jesus has yet to appear to any of these people who have come to the tomb. Unlike the Gospel of Matthew, where Matthew remembers that Jesus greeted some of them right there in the garden, or the Gospel of John, where he even calls Mary by name there beside the tomb, with Luke, all of that has to wait until later in the day. And so on this morning, what we have is what I think is a very poignant image of who we all are in times when confusion and fear and doubt create a barrier between us and this new reality that God has created, brought into being in raising Jesus from the dead. So for those women who came to the tomb early that Easter morning, there was just grief and despair. They had watched their loved one die. And now all they can do is just go through the motions. They don't have to meet with a mortician or pick out a casket or order death certificates, but they're willing to do their duty. And so they come with these spices for embalming. But what they find when they come is just emptiness. And that creates a whole new feeling within them, moving them from grief more to just confusion about the whole thing. In a literal sense, it is the emptiness of that tomb. But when I hear the story, I do think about so much of the emptiness also that we encounter in life. Maybe the emptiness that you feel or have felt after the loss of a loved one due to either death or separation. Or the emptiness comes after losing some part of life that has felt particularly meaningful for us, something we've given ourselves to. Or the emptiness that comes when a hope or a dream that we've had is no longer there. Anything that we've been attached to that we've lost, it's hard to be in that place of emptiness. And that is so often what also leads to fear. And if I were to name the one thing that creates probably the greatest barrier of all between us and this new reality that God has brought forth in Christ, it would be fear. In this gospel story, we see that the women were especially afraid when those men in dazzling white appeared. But what Luke says is that they moved from that place of confusion terror, mostly because that everything now was unfamiliar to them, and all of this was for them a disruption of life, and so all they could do was just put their faces to the ground, not look up at all. That is what fear does to us. It causes us to only hold our heads down and not look up and see the work that God is doing, the new creation that God has brought forth, to see the possibilities around us. Fear is what, in so many ways, separates us from this reality that God has come to give, and it binds us to a reality that has been destroyed, really, in the resurrection of Christ. And yet, in the story, too, we find that here is where these women are. as we so often are in our own life, and because that can come to us at any time, on any day when we forget, the promises that God has made and that God has fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ. And isn't that what these two men in dazzling white are saying to the women? Remember. Remember what he told you in Galilee. Remember how he said that it won't end this way, that this isn't the end of the story. Remember how he said that he would be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And even as they spoke, it was as if maybe little cracks were starting to appear in that barrier that was there for the women. And then they did start to remember. And as that happened, it was as if that barrier, that wall, started to crumble a bit more, enough that they were free to go and at least tell the other disciples what they had seen and heard. But Luke doesn't describe that as a major turning point either. Because when they get to the other disciples, to the 11, the barrier that is there is this barrier of doubt and outright rejection of what they are saying. We get a pretty cleaned up version of what they said in this English translation that we have before us today. But when the disciples call the women's story an idle tale, it isn't that different, maybe, from all those times when we reject the possibility that God is acting or has acted in a way that totally defies our expectations and our image of God, or the way in which we doubt the testimony of others whenever it doesn't fit our limited worldview. But then there is a spark. Peter decides that he's going to run to the tomb and see for himself. It would be nice to say that when he got there, that wall of doubt just crumbled. But all Luke says is that when Peter came and didn't find Jesus but just the empty tomb, he was simply moved from doubt to amazement. And maybe not the kind of amazement that we think of. Most other English translations of that text say that Peter left the tomb wondering what all of this meant. And that's maybe closer to the original version. That he was still wondering. That he was still pondering, processing all of it, and not yet sure what it all meant. But things were different. And that's where this Easter morning gospel ends today. No great epiphanies, no transformations really that are significant in the life of these people right at that moment, no testimonies to anyone else that Jesus is risen except from those two men in dazzling white. And that's where we come to an end of that story and wonder, is there more? It makes me think about all of the people who gathered for worship on this Easter Sunday around the world. What will we take with us just from this gathering today in our places of worship around the world? Will our lives be completely transformed, changed during this hour that we spend together? Will the confusion or the uncertainties of life simply dissipate and vanish for us before we walk out through those doors? Will any fear that we brought with us or a great concern for things simply now be banished in this time right here? And will our faith in Christ be so solidified right now that we'll just never have to wrestle with this ever again? I don't know how God's Spirit will work within any of you. By God's grace, maybe there will be these epiphanies here and around the world today. Maybe moments of transformation for people. But I'm also imagining that many of us will leave worship much like the men and women that we have met in this gospel story. Maybe some deep memories have been stirred up and will be for us today. Memories would come from the hearing of these stories and the singing of these songs, the praying together, and at this meal, and in this company, remembering the goodness of God in the past. And if that's the case, then maybe there will also be a bit of that dissipation of the walls around us, that there'll be more of those walls crumbling somewhere so that we can leave here freer, ready to testify, ready in some way and open to the new thing that God might want to reveal to us in our lives. And maybe some of us here and around the world will leave with wonder and amazement that opens our lives a bit more to the possibility that God can bring something completely new to us and to the world, something that we haven't imagined or seen for ourselves, and opening maybe our hearts and minds more to the fact that God may be calling us to live in the light of this resurrection story and to be a part of Christ's redeeming, transforming work in the world around us. And maybe many of us will leave worship here and around the world today feeling as though nothing has changed. We came, we did our duty, we fulfilled an expectation, and now we can get on with life. Whatever the case, it's important to remember that that's not the end of the story. Just like this is not the end of the story for Luke, that's not the end of the story for any of us either. It takes going ahead a little bit into the story for Peter to remember that on that same afternoon, it took two disciples who had known Jesus a long walk to Emmaus with him before they ever realized that he had been with them. But when they did, it was an epiphany. It was a time of deep significance for them, and it opened them up to what life now was like in this place of the risen Christ. And it took Jesus going to where the disciples were later that afternoon, finding them in their fear and in their amazement, and coming to them to show them his hands and his feet. And Luke says, while they were still disbelieving and still wondering, they also found joy and change took place. And then, as St. John says, it took Jesus coming back again the next week to find Thomas and to have Thomas put his hands in Jesus' hands, to where Thomas finally said, "My Lord and my God," in a way that transformed not only his life, but a whole community that has loved to tell that story. So we come with this, and we come to this place also where, for us, we are bearers of what God has given. But now I am getting ahead of myself, because that story of Thomas and the rest is what Pastor Servan will begin to tell next week. My job today is simply to proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen. Whether you or I see that or believe that mystery, and to promise you also that he is going before us to meet us in those places where we walk, in the places where we gather, in whatever state we are in, whether it is confusion or clarity or fear or hope or doubt or trust, that there is no barrier that is impenetrable, no barrier that can keep us separated from this new reality that God has called into being. Because for God who raised Jesus from the dead, nothing is impossible. And we can remember today, with the help of God's Spirit, that therefore nothing in all of creation can separate you and me from the promise of new life in Jesus Christ, today and forever. Amen. To stand and sing.